you could reflect for me just for a moment on Stowe's changes through the years and how you feel about Stowe as you look ahead to the future. And
I think Stowe is absolutely thriving.
Yeah.
And it has changed from a small village to a much bigger village.
Yeah.
And I think there's much, much more diversity of people here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's still a lovely place to live.
It's interesting when I think when you were talking about coming up here when your kids were small and making this lifestyle change from the high pressure or the stressful life of the suburban life. You know, there's so many families who are doing that today, and it's the same, really the same motivation.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful place to raise children.
Yeah.
Oh, I would agree with all that.
And are you happy with when you look at the paper today and what direction that it's taken? And what are your
you
thoughts?
Mean you
on
want
that?
Me to comment on Biddle's paper now?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, I mean, when you.
No,
you
I think he's doing a fine job. He's obviously got more advertising than I used to have. And that's what makes the wheels go around, so to speak. So, that's very important. And I think he's got good writers. And, I don't even know his writers. I do know the photographer still, Glenn was the one that I'd hired originally. So,
okay.
And Glenn was always a wonderful photographer.
Well, and you had, and one of the things that Biddle mentioned in my conversation with him prior to this interview is he said, you know, the Stowe Reporter set up a standard of really excellent photography from the early days. And was that something you said earlier in our interview that some of these photographers were just great photographers happened to be sending you great photography, or is it something that you made a priority, or did it just luck out that there
was? There's a Stowe Reporter scholarship now that I don't think there's any money involved with it, but we give something to a photography award to some photography group at the Stowe High School for photography. This was Lynn Solo, who was one of our original, then she died of cancer, unfortunately, but she was a wonderful photographer.
She was outstanding.
She taught me a lot of things which I never could do. I mean, taking a picture of an egg on a white background or a piece of coal on a black background. I mean, things like that. One of the great photographers we had, though, was,
the one who lives in Texas now.
Yeah.
Can't think of his name.
I'll get it for you. But I can remember when he first came into the paper and he wanted a job as a photographer. And we'd gone through a lot of photographers off and on. We were all, some of them good, a lot mundane. But I asked him to go, and we'd always give him the same assignment. Go out, this is when we were living in the building that you're in now. Mm-hmm. So go take a picture locally. I mean, just within walking distance around here. Because they all zero in on the church and that picture. This guy took a picture through the broken end of a Coca-Cola bottle. Of the church, and it was just marvelous. Then they had to come back and process the film, which we did in those days, in our own dark room, which I think still exists, but I don't know whether it's used anymore. Mm-hmm. And he also, well, I guess that was as far as it went. They had to be able to process the film. Oh, we had Werner Reed going way back to the beginning. I forgot about him. He was a very famous, any photographer for life was a famous photographer, I guess, nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
And he and his Leica went around taking pictures all over the place. And
well, the picture he got him to take was the dump. I mean, that he took was the dump when he was sent out
to take
a picture.
He got to be a nuisance. He was courting one of our younger editors, Russell Spring's younger sister, Debbie Spring. And he would be underfoot all the time when we were in the old shoe building. And I can remember he'd come up and say, give me some assignments. And we'd say, well, why don't you go take a picture of the dump? The dump was it was a communal dump and everybody could use it and it burned up every couple of days. And, go take a picture of the dump. He took the most marvelous pictures of the dump. And we ended up making them full page pictures, on the front.
Is this the current dump or just the stump dump that was down?
It's a stump behind the behind that shopping center.
Okay, the one where it is now. Okay.
And those days, well, you were asking about Darby Chambers. Back when it was illegal to burn the dump, she'd go up there with the other selectmen and they'd all start indiscriminately throwing matches in the direction of the dump, and it occasionally had caught fire. And I think that that was still continuing to the point when Werner got these pictures of the dump. Fortunately, nobody was implicated in having started the fire.
Right.
Spontaneous combustion always. Then they got put under all kinds of regulations.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So these were all, we had good photographers all along.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
And I guess the current one, Glenn, has won all kinds of things from the New England Press Association.
Yes, right. He has, yeah. I wonder what his first photograph was when he was sent out on the town.
I don't know, but he was a rock climber too at one, probably is, I don't know, still was maybe. But he did some wonderful pictures recently of just the rocks up on the mountain. Yeah. I thought they were sort of bluish color. They were color. We didn't have color photography when we owned the paper, except we occasionally could blow a little, a few extra dollars to run a color cover or something for some event, but it was expensive to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got into it, but then we started the Stowe magazine what is now the Stowe magazine and guidebook. But at one point I tried a separate publication called the Stowe magazine, which I got some wonderful pictures in my hiking days of my daughter and two small children up on Mount Mansfield. And this was the cover for the first issue of the Stowe magazine. And we had enough ads, I guess, but basically it occurred to me in sort of a dumb fashion that all I was doing was competing with myself and the Stowe magazine and the Stowe guidebook. So then we dropped that within next year, I think, anyway, and that was a costly mistake financially at that point, as I remember it.
Well, so the Stowe Guide at that point was strictly just more of a reference material?
Yes.
And so you were then trying to create this lifestyle.
You must have someplace records. It became something of this size that listed businesses in town with telephone numbers and things.
Okay.
And then it grew to, and somebody suggested, why don't we do it in the Stowe Reporter start carrying those pages in the Stowe Reporter, which we did, and then it expanded into the Stowe Guide and magazine as we started getting into pictures and things. And I think Bernie Dagenet was the first to really work with that, and then Popa, Jeff, no.
Greg
Popa came on. I hope you take some of my references to people. I can't remember any of their names. I still
have
that
remember
way.
The one who, you've done it. You've got to remember and tell who the other photographer was.
Yes.
Went to Texas. I can't remember his name. He was wonderful.
Well, we could look him up, too.
I could find his name very quickly. I have one called Marilyn DeWeese, who was my first bookkeeper and stayed with us from the earliest days in the Stowe, in the Shaw building to right through the point where she stayed on after me.
Huh.
And I think Biddle eliminated her at some place along the line. But she knew everything. She knew all the dates and who everybody was and what their birthdays were,
wow,
et cetera. She was marvelous. But now, where was I on that conversation?
We were just talking about the evolution of the Stowe Guide and magazine.
Oh, the Stowe Guide, yeah.
I think you've covered it.
Yeah.
I think I pretty much covered it.
Yeah.